The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark. The Spirit drove Jesus out into the desert, and he remained in the desert for 40 days, tempted by Satan. He was among the wild beasts, and the angels ministered to him. After John had been arrested, Jesus came to Galilee proclaiming the gospel of God. This is the time of fulfillment. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. The gospel of the Lord. Please be seated. Well, it's always good to come home. Good to see most of you. Some of you it's not good to see, but I'm not just joking. And it's beautiful also to see two angels dressed in white here. So later on in the Mass, right after the homily, we're going to begin the first rites of introduction into RCIA. Father Donald is going to steal my thunder and do that because he's the pastor and he gets to do those things. But anyway, welcome, and it's always beautiful to see. It's great coming to a parish like St. Peter, St. Denis, and just seeing there's always something going on. So, back to the homily. You know, today's gospel, first of all, we're in the first Sunday of Lent, but today's gospel, you kind of have to see where does it fit. We're right at the very beginning of the Gospel of Mark, but you kind of have to see what happens, what is said immediately before this gospel and what is said right after it in order to kind of fit it into its place. So the very beginning of the Gospel of Mark, well, I'm going to give you a confession first of all. The Gospel of Mark, I used to always be kind of like, I mean, I know that in the eyes of God, all four Gospels are inspired by the Holy Spirit, and therefore they're of equal value. It's the Word of God. I get it. But I never liked the Gospel of Mark as much because it's just so sparse. Like, the other Gospels give you a lot more stories, and they fill in a lot more of the gaps. And the Gospel of Mark is like, Jesus went here, and he did this, and then he went there, and he did something else. And it's like, okay, but come on, let's get a little bit of juice here. Right? And then Pope Benedict came to my rescue. Okay? And I remember, I think it's in Jesus of Nazareth Part 2. It's the books that he wrote. And he explains something. The Gospel of Mark begins just bluntly. It just says, the Gospel of Jesus Christ, Son of God. Boom. Okay? But what is that actually? Why is that a big deal? It actually is a big deal. The word gospel is not of Christian origin. The word gospel was something, first of all, it comes from two Greek words because the eastern half of the Roman Empire spoke Greek. It was the cool language. All the cool kids were good at Greek. Okay? Kind of like being in St. Peter's. If you're cool, you speak Spanish as well as English. If you're a dork, then someone's like, one of me, you know, you just show up not speaking anything. It's like, oh. So in the eastern half of the Roman Empire, they spoke Greek, and the words gospel was evangelium, which means good news. You hear about the good news, right? And the idea was whenever the emperor says basically anything, it's supposed to be good news. And the good news may be, hey, official proclamation of Julius Caesar. He's about to send troops to destroy your village. That's good news for all the people. Whatever it is, if it comes from the emperor, it's always supposed to be understood that it's good news, okay? And the emperor, Julius Caesar actually started kind of claiming divinity. And then certainly Caesar Augustus full out just declared himself to be a god. It's what you did. If you were a powerful emperor, just like the pharaoh in Egypt was supposed to be a god. So what happens when you begin your writing saying, the gospel, the good news, I saw a declaration. It's like of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. It's like a frontal assault on all of the authorities and everything, the emperor, everything. It's like this little Catholic church, which has barely got a few adherents, is coming out swinging and saying, this is the good news. This is the Son of God. Everybody else who claims that title is an imposter. This is God's salvific message. Okay? Then what happens, which we still haven't gotten into today's gospel, what happens is it says Jesus went to the Jordan River, he was baptized. When he's baptized, he enters into the water. He associates himself with sinful humanity, because the baptism of John the Baptist is kind of like us going to confession. It's was to go and recognize I'm a sinner, and it was a baptism of repentance and conversion, okay? Jesus, who didn't need to convert, went, he associated himself with us, and he comes out of the water, the Holy Spirit descends upon him, and he hears the voice of God the Father saying, "This is my beloved Son." And the very next line is where today's gospel starts. The Spirit drove him out into the desert and remained in the desert for 40 days to be tempted by Satan. Okay, so what's going on? Jesus has just been declared Son of God. The Spirit says, now go into the battle, into the desert and do battle. Go into the desert and wage war. There's a new kingdom that's being established, and right off the bat, Jesus is going head to head with the devil. It says, he went into the desert, he remained there for 40 days to be tempted by the devil. That's what he was there for. So what do you do when you're in a desert? Well, first of all, a desert is a place where there is silence. There is silence. Have you ever been in like a real desert? Or have you ever just been like somewhere in the middle of Oklahoma or something, you know, where there are no cars and you don't hear anything? There's a reason why we go to deserts. There's a reason why we go on retreat and we leave behind the cell phone. There's no Instagram, there's nothing. Because when you are in a place where there is silence, you can hear God talk, and you're also forced to look into yourself. You and I, in today's world, in human history, but especially in today's world, it is so easy never to have to really face ourselves, because we can continue to cover over and distract ourselves and come up with all kinds of reasons for stuff that's out there that seems so important. You know, when we die, Instagram was not going to be particularly important to us. Netflix is not going to be important to us. None of that. How many likes you had is not going to be important to any of us. When we die, we're going to be really entering into the desert. We're going to be face to face with God in solitude. And he fasted and he prayed. And during this time of fasting and prayer, he entered into conflict. Satan comes and does the same thing he does to all of us. He tempted Jesus. Jesus had to face sin. He rejected sin. But there's something else that's going on here. The desert was also, in the Bible, it was considered to be the place where the devil lived. You went out, the desert was the domain, the dwelling place of demons. So Jesus wasn't just going out to go on vacation in the desert and get away from it all. He was going straight into the devil's domain and taking the fight to him. And actually in the early church we see that, in the first centuries after Christianity was made legal, you had people like St. Martin of Tours would go out into places of solitude, and he would find out, where are the pagan temples? Where are they offering up worship to demons? And they would go straight to the places where the devil was strongest, and they would pray, and they would fast, and they would do exorcisms, and they would cast the devil out. You know, St. Patrick in Ireland, he faced the Druids. He cast out the devil. He took him on toe-to-toe in his home front. You know, the famous expression of the gospel, the gates of hell will not prevail. Gates do not attack anybody. Gates are so that you can defend. The devil is the one that is on the defensive. Christ is the one bringing the game to his front gates, and he's going to break through those gates. That is what the gospel is about. And this is why you and I have Lent. Lent is not so that we can, sometimes we think it's like, well, I'll do penance and hopefully the devil won't attack me too much and I'll kind of put up my shields. No! Lent is so that you and I can go and wage war on the devil to bring the kingdom of God into the world by beginning in ourselves. And therefore, when we get to Easter, it is going to be a moment of triumph. Easter is saying, right now, we have begun the war, and Easter is when the war has been won, in a certain sense, and we celebrate the victory of Christ. And if you and I don't live our Lent by going to war with the devil, which is going to be prayer, fasting, almsgiving, works of charity, all the means of holiness that the church proposes, if we just kind of sleep our way through Lent, when we get to Easter, it's like no big deal. It's like, oh, that's nice. Jesus is risen. Who cares? For Easter, to really mean something to us, we have to be the ones who fight. It's kind of like saying, it's like Easter would be like getting a participation prize, you know? You know how now everyone's a victor. Everyone's a champion. Even if you took last place, you still get a trophy because you tried. No! Nobody cares about participation prizes. And frankly, if you don't play the sport, you don't get the medal. You don't get the trophy. You don't get your photo in the yearbook. Nothing. You gotta fight. You gotta play the sport. You gotta get into the battle if you want to win it. If you want to receive the reward of the victory. And this is what Lent is about. And you and I are starting this period. And the beautiful thing is, all you have to do is fight. If we fight, the victory is guaranteed. Christ has won the victory. And he's saying, basically, do you want to be on my team? Do you want to be on the victorious team? If you do, then let's begin this Lent. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.